You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
What's so incredible about God is He knows what you need before you even know what you need. We started this incredible series about come unity. Saying the prayer and having an attitude that is saying, come unity. And how profound it is that we began talking about unity at this moment. Turn to somebody and say, God knows what you need. And so, this is what I found. Circumstances are not always good, but God is always good. And God is on the throne every day. He cannot be elected. He cannot be taken out of office. God is on the throne today. God will be on the throne tomorrow. God will be on the throne next year. Amen. We started talking about this simple prayer. Come, unity. That this would be our heart in this time and in this season. Saying with our words and saying with our prayers, come, unity. And if there's something that we as a people, and I'm talking about not just us, but beyond the four walls of our church, beyond our city, beyond our state, our nation, we need to be saying and we need to be praying, come, unity. We must have unity to have community. And I realize that in America, some people are very happy. Some people are very upset right now. There's a lot of things going on, but I want us to exercise the fruit of the Spirit right now, even though that is not inside this house. I want you to turn to somebody and just say, I love you. Don't cheap out on it, okay? Don't turn to somebody and say, hey. You know, sometimes when you're a group and somebody asks you to do something, you just say, hey, how you doing? In a bigger, turn to somebody else and say the same thing. Say, I love you. I want to tell you, it's so powerful what love releases. Love releases something so powerful, and unity can really be an outflow of love when love is exercised. And so I want to share with you a few scriptures and I challenge you and a few different things today, and prayerfully you'll still love me afterwards. But I promise you all this stuff is actually in the Bible. We'll start here with 1 Peter 5 and 7. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God because He cares about you. What I've found is that oftentimes we get bogged down with cares, with worries, with fears. And I'm going to give you permission today to cast your cares upon Jesus. Whatever you're worried about, whatever you're concerned about. If you're concerned about political stuff, if you're concerned about other stuff, if you're worried, if you're fearful, I give you permission today to lay down your cares at the feet of Jesus. You don't have to carry those concerns into tomorrow. You can lay those down. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Tell God what you need. You know what I found? I found as I was watching the television and I was watching the news feeds, I wasn't praying as much. I was looking, but I wasn't praying as much at the beginning of the week. I turned that around. I started praying later on in the week more. But life has a way of doing that. We get our focus on something, and we begin to worry about that thing. We begin to get fearful about that thing instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to take this circumstance that I'm concerned about. I'm going to lay it down here on the altar, right? And then I'm going to turn my attention and tell God what I need. I want to encourage you today because we serve a big God. We sang the song, God is able today. How many believe that? How many really believe God is able? I don't know about you, but I believe God is able. He's a big God. He's a great God. We serve a God that, let me tell you something, at the end of the day, God can work with all kinds of people. When I crack my Bible open, I see God working with all types of people. Sometimes I see God working in spite of people. So God is not limited by people. God, rather, at times in history, he works with people. Other times he works in spite of a person. But God works. Turn to somebody and say, God works. So John 14, 1. Let's look at this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, when I look on the news feeds, many hearts troubled. But the Bible says, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. And this is Jesus saying this, and also trust in me. There's an old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Anybody ever heard this song? I dare not trust the sweetest frame. There's a lot of frames going on, right? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Come on, sing it with me. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I think the problem oftentimes is we allow a man or a woman to excite us too much or to discourage us too much. Follow me for a second. We let a person, a man or a woman, excite us too much or discourage us too much. If your hope is based on a person, let me give you a newsflash. You will be disappointed. Every man, every woman will fail you at some point in some way. But if your focus and if your hope is built on Jesus, now that's a firm foundation. And that is a trust that can take, you know what? If I've got the trust and reliance in God, in Jesus, I can not let my heart be troubled about whatever is going on in the moment. This applies to every season. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. God is for us and not against us. Amen? With God, your greatest days are ahead of you. If God is for you, your greatest days are these days, this season. I see the children of Israel, they were in times, great times, favorable times. They were also in times that it looked like a lot of circumstances were against them, but they still thrived. They still were able to excel because why? They were the people of God. And maybe I sound like a broken record, and if I do, please, I apologize in advance for it. But what a Christian's response to success or adversity should be prayer. A Christian's response to success or adversity should be prayer. If you have just gotten what, in your opinion, is the best thing, pray. Commune with God. if the thing in your opinion that is the worst thing in the world that could have happened, guess what you need to do? Pray also. The Bible says pray without ceasing. A Christian's response to success or adversity is prayer. Oftentimes, when we get blessed, we get complacent. We stop praying. Sometimes when adversity hits, we get so focused on the problem, we stop praying. You know, both are tricks of the enemy. A true pathway to continual growth in God and prospering as a community is what? To turn to God in prayer. That is a Christian's response. But is it all right if I talk about social media? Is it okay if I touch on that a little bit, or is that taboo today? I love it how like half of everybody is quiet. It's all right. I know you love me. When I look on social media, I see some encouragement, but I see a lot of negativity and ranting. I want to encourage you. The word of God is that we say and that we pray, come unity. I told you last week, I'm going to tell you again, that is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying right now. That we are saying with our mouth and we are saying with our prayers, come unity. Come unity. The heart of God is to say, come unity. Our nation needs unity. Our cities need unity. Brotherhood, love, understanding. Let us pray, come unity. I found this to be true. I don't know, maybe you found this to be true also. Negativity, ranting doesn't fix problems, right? But prayer can. Prayer can most definitely fix problems. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous person, fill in the blank for me, availeth much. Where two are gathered in my name, there I am, right? There I am. I'm in the midst of the two people. Three people, a threefold cord is what? Not easily broken. But not if they're ranting. A threefold cord is not easily broken if they're unified in prayer. So, in the Bible, what we see is this God that is great. He parts the Red Sea. He brings the children of Israel out of slavery. He's the same God that comes through with miracles time and time again. Our God, is our God big enough to work with imperfect situations? Absolutely. Is our God able to work through imperfect situations? And it doesn't matter what you believe today. You don't believe this is the perfect situation, right? Amen. The perfect situation would be Jesus Christ in the White House, right? Everybody can agree on that. But watch here. God can work, and God does work in imperfect situations. In the Bible, God uses all kinds of people. Sometimes God uses animals. A rooster, right? A donkey. But God uses righteous people. God uses poor people. God uses rich people. Sometimes God even uses questionable people. I don't know if you're reading the same Bible as me, but I see God use all kinds of people. I don't want our faith to be limited to think that God only uses certain types of people. God can use anybody. God can use anybody. And I think that's the most encouraging point, because let me tell you something. There's been places that I've fallen short. There's been places that you've fallen short. There's been places that we've fallen short. But God oftentimes uses people that others have disqualified. Gideon disqualified himself, but God said, I've qualified you. Right? Saul, the whole Christian community had disqualified. God qualified him. God has qualified you. God has qualified me. God can qualify whomever that he wants to qualify. So this is why I don't share the sentiment of the sky is falling and it's the end of the world. Because let me tell you who is my ultimate leader. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's Jesus Christ. And he is still on the throne. He is able to lift up. He is able to bring down. He is able to change laws. He is able to change the heart of kings. And I believe as the people of God begin to pray, powerful things will happen. As the people of God begin to pray, powerful things will happen. This is why I don't believe in ranting. That's why you won't find it on my post. You won't find crazy me saying all kinds of stuff. Why? Ranting isn't going to fix things. It adds to division. But prayer can fix things. Prayer can unify people. Prayer can change people's hearts. Prayer. I believe the greatest days are ahead of us. As a people, as a nation, as a church, as families, our greatest days are ahead of you. And anybody that's telling you anything else, you need to stop listening to them. Absolutely, you need to turn off the TV. You need to turn off the media. My goodness. If they lied to you about the weather, come on. They're going to lie to you about everything else. My goodness. If they'll lie to you about something as simple as a hurricane. Every time we get a storm, it's a hurricane. DEFCON 6. Hurricane level 5. The end of the world is coming to you. Listen, just turn off the TV. Until we get some people with sense. Good Lord. Good Lord. I'm not saying be aware. Not be aware of what they're saying. Just know. Goodness. If they lie about one thing. Come on. You know. It's fair to add. Some logic to that. Listen to this. Principle. Our faith is not tethered to politics. Our faith is in Jesus. We look at the Roman Empire, we look at the early church, and we see how God moved in spite of the government. And you know what happened? The people of God were consistent to pray. They were consistent to share the gospel. And guess what happened? God changed a government. Regardless of what you say, our government, either way, needs help. It needs reformation. It needs an overhaul. The Roman Empire, let me tell you something. When Paul wrote the scripture to respect one another and honor the king, do you know who was the emperor at that time? Emperor Nero, known to be one of the most, if not the most brutal dictators and persecutors of the church. They say that he would light Christians on fire as torches in his garden. Not just the stuff in the Colosseum. This was just a way of life. Persecute, burn. Some say that he burnt Rome to the ground and blamed it on the Christians. This man was brutal, but Paul was saying, understand a thing about the principle of honor. Because if you sow honor, honor will come back to you. If you sow honor, honor will come back to you. And I believe that Christians should always be honorable. I believe that when you sow honor, you reap honor. Even when, for a season, you're in a situation where you have to honor somebody that maybe you don't like. Maybe you don't agree with. God challenged me a few years ago to honor somebody that I didn't like. They actually irritated me. They did stuff contrary to what I thought and how I thought that things should be done. And so God challenged me with this. And my response to God, because sometimes I'm just real with God. A lot of times I'll just say yes, but sometimes I got to be real. God, I'm having trouble with this because I don't even like this person. God said, I want to teach you a principle of honor. Because an honorable person knows how to honor a position even when you don't agree. And I believe that that principle can be of application to us. Psalm 19:14 says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I know it's a different translation up there. But one of my guiding scriptures, I love this scripture, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Isn't that an incredible prayer and an incredible statement that I'm saying that we should be saying as a people, I believe, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, because this is where we can get off track. When we begin to meditate on the wrong things, begin to focus on the wrong things, and the wrong things begin to come out of our mouth, and we're not stopping for long enough to ask ourselves, is this something acceptable to God to be doing? Is this something productive to be doing? Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. You know, it was my great-grandfather. He would say, if you don't have something to say, good, just don't say anything at all. You know, if you don't have something productive to add to the discussion, guess what? You know, a lot of times we say stuff when we're frustrated that just it doesn't help. It's not helping in any way possible, you know. And I would encourage you, as believers, take every platform that you have and use it as you would an opportunity that God has given you. When you're in your circle of friends or your circle of coworkers, or you're on the platform of Facebook, that a lot of people use a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, when you don't have to look at somebody in the face, you can say all kinds of stuff. And so we have a society of people that say all kinds of crazy abusive things because they don't have to look somebody in the face when they say it. Well, that's what Ephesians 4:29 says. Don't use abusive language. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear it. Christians should always be honorable. I believe we have a duty to say productive and unifying things. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest things you can do, one of the greatest things that we can do, is be unifiers of people. Be the type of agents of change that bring people back together. And we're able to once again sit together at the table of brotherhood and have discussions. If everybody in your circle believes things exactly the way that you do, that might not be a healthy situation. When we look to move our church forward, I set people that are knowledgeable but have different perspectives than me. I allow them to sit around me and give counsel. Why? Because there is oftentimes wisdom found in people with different perspectives. So we open up our ears and listen and say, is God speaking through this person? Is God speaking through that person? What is God saying? In a different opinion other than my own. And so it's our duty to be productive and bring people together. I love what Paul said. He said, respect everyone. Love the family of believers. 1 Peter 2:7. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. You know. The Bible says some difficult things. You know, I don't know why Jesus said these things sometimes. Love your enemies. Wow. Pray for those that persecute you. Honor the king. What? these things aren't easy things. You know, Jesus had a habit of just coming up with the hardest things for people to do. Love your enemies? Just think about that for a second. Just take that. That's the last thing you want to do in the natural. That's the last thing you want to do because your natural impulse is to push away the person that you disagree with. Push away the person that's your enemy. Rebuke the person that's your enemy, right? Say something sharp to the person that's your enemy. That's our natural inclination. But what Jesus is saying is, I'm asking you, rather I'm commanding you to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those, actually the scripture goes on to say, pray for those who do all kinds of things against you. I didn't say, I've never said that Christianity is easy. Jesus puts some difficult mandates out there. He does. But Jesus, although he gives us a difficult road, he gives us a beautiful promise. A difficult road, but a beautiful outcome. When we follow some of these hard teachings of Christ, guess what we get in the end? Just the kingdom of God entering into our life, right? We can choose to live life by the natural, or we can choose to apply certain principles of God, or the principles, I'll say all the principles of God, and begin to live heaven on earth. Amen? What are the principles of heaven release in your life? They release heaven in your life. We can choose to live life from a natural thought process with natural inclinations, or we can choose to release heaven in our lives by operating with heavenly principles. It grieves me to see our nation hurting. It grieves me to see people frustrated and angry. Church, being a believer is about whether you're hurting inside or you're happy inside, to be the salt and the light. Being a Christian is about not being reactionary, but being the solution. I want to challenge you. We talked about leadership a couple of series ago. Leaders lead. Leaders bring people together. Leaders put their own feelings aside and they say, you know what? Let's come together. Let's come up with a solution. Let's find a way to love each other. Let's find a way to be a community. And I believe that is the spirit of Christ. Absolutely. Come unity. Come unity. And if you got feelings, and take that stuff to the prayer closet. Take that stuff to the Lord. Because let me tell you something. There's nobody that can fix some of that stuff but God. Pouring my hurt out on you, you pouring your hurt out on me, only brings more hurt. But if I pour my hurt out on the Lord, guess what? There's healing. There is healing. There is healing. This is the principle. We need to be the light. When we make a statement, when we enter the room, when we enter the discussion, we should illuminate the atmosphere. We should absolutely change the atmosphere. We should change the culture. We talked about being culture shapers. You know, when we speak a word, you can't get that word back. You can apologize for the word. You can make an explanation for the word. But you can't take the word back. The Bible says we'll give an account. For how many words? Every word. So I'm thoughtful when I give word. I weigh my words. I say, is this word going to help? Is this word going to be productive? Is this word going to bring life? Because I'll have to take account for these words that come from me. And we all have to take an account for the words that come from us. Whether they're in person, whether in whatever form or fashion. Let us build. Let us bring people together. Let us bring healing. How many know that healing needs to happen? How many would like to see God use you as an agent of healing? I absolutely want to be an agent of healing. Because when I see people hurting, my spiritual response is to reach out and to begin to want to heal. I want to challenge you to do what I did this week, and that is take moments where you step back. Step back from the TV. Step back from the news feed. Step back from the social media and pray. Pray for our nation. Pray the prayer, come unity. This is where the solution comes from, the Lord. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The mountain of the Lord, the ultimate authority. Mountains symbolize authority. And let me tell you, the greatest authority is the authority that comes from the Lord. He is where the help comes from. And so I want to encourage you. Let us pray this prayer. Come, unity. Come, unity. Will you bow your heads and let's pray together. There's so much that happens when we come together in agreement. And I want to agree right now.
As you sit there with your eyes closed, you know, so much of what we, of our answers are found in the Word. When we rehearse the Word, we find answers, we find life. And I want to read this scripture to you, Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do things that you please. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, or envying one another. So if you would just agree with me, Father, right now, we come before you, God, as we humble ourselves, as your word says. We turn from our own ways, wicked ways, God, and we stand in the gap for this nation right now, Lord. And first, we just ask that if there's anything within us that's not pleasing to you, if there's any part of us where we have allowed our flesh to rise and not your Spirit to lead, we repent. And Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would fill every heart with the evidence of your love, with the evidence of your Spirit. Fill us, God, with love that is so overwhelming, God, that we no longer move by our flesh, but we are consumed with you. We are consumed with the compassion of Jesus to see people just like we just sang with, let us see through your eyes. Let us see things like you do. And God, we thank you, Father, for this nation. And we say thank you, God, for being with us. And we declare right now that we trust in you. We know that you are our God. You are the one true living God. And so, Lord, we turn our eyes, we fix our eyes on you right now. And, Lord, we ask you, make us one. Lord, help us to be the salt and light. Help us to be the example of what the church is truly supposed to be. Help us to speak life and love in the spirit in which you desire us to do so, God. And Lord, we pray right now for your peace and your love to overrun in this country. We come against any assignment of the enemy to bring about division right now. We cancel the plan and the attacks of the enemy to try to bring self-destruction to this nation. And we declare that this nation will rise up. We will turn our eyes and fix our eyes on you, God. We declare that America's best days are ahead. And we hold on to the hope of Jesus. And Father, we practice honor by right now just praying for this man that has been elected, God. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, transform him in such a way and surround him with people that will give him godly counsel, that he would be full of wisdom, not of wisdom of man or earthly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom, heavenly wisdom. And Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for letting a blanket of peace. We declare a blanket of peace over this country and for progress into the things that you have for us. We speak revival. We speak life. And we thank you right now. We receive all that you have for us. We leave no room for the enemy, and we declare it so and done. We seal this word in the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.